Hello, and welcome to American Pale Males, your nerdy beer tasting podcast. As always, I am your slightly capsaicined host, Jeremy, and with me, as always, is the non-capsaicined...
It's Michael.
Michael, how often do you eat something with, like, significant amounts of heat in it?
I'm not that much of a heat seeker, Jeremy, I gotta say.
What?
You know, at one point I was... And I built up some of that tolerance, and then I lost it, and now I've never gone back.
Did you go more for the acidic hot peppers heat, or the dry roasted version of like a really hot curry?
Really hot curry.
Okay, I thought so, because I think the last time you were in town we got Thai food?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. I was just like, you know what, that seems like something Michael would eat. Both of them are... Both cuisines can be fairly vegetarian friendly, I would suspect.
Yeah.
I had vegetarian burritos tonight. So there, I guess.
There you go.
But, Michael, all this talk about food has gotten me thirsty. How about you whet my palate with a beer brag?
I can do that. I just decided to go with the most recent beer I had, partially because it's awesome. I don't think I've ever bragged about this on the show either. One of the favorite brews of mine, a favorite brew of mine, I said that strangely, Golden Drach.
Ah, good man.
And I think this is one of the first times, or it's at least it's been a while, that I've tasted it with a critical tongue. And it's a lot more zesty and a lot more spicy than I remember.
I had a similar feeling.
You know, I was expecting it to be a little lighter, just based on my memory alone.
And the fact that it says golden in it?
Exactly,
isn't
yeah.
it pretty dark?
It's pretty dark. It's okay. Darker than I expected, both in color and in taste. It's very caramely, with a kind of that spiciness that we found in Duvel. That kind of
yes.
zesty, spicy flavor. Not a burning heat at all.
A little bit of a hot cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, a little.
Let's cha-cha!
And the what brings it home, though, for me is that Belgian candy and that Belgian yeasty flavor that I ever so adore, making Belgian-style beers my favorite, and of course this one is no exception. An excellent brew. I gave it, this time around, a 4.75.
Woo!
I think the only... I like lighter, not lighter, lighter in color and a little bit more delicate Belgians, and so it's just like I knew there was a higher thing above it, so that's why I didn't dunk the five. Although I probably could have, just given the situation. It's just perfect that day, so...
Dunk the five.
Dunk the five. Jeremy, two-part question. I'm going to throw a little wrench in your plans.
Okay.
Do the beer brag, of course, if you can. And then what is your favorite brew, since you're a heat seeker, for slaking that heat after a nice spicy meal? What beer...
Interesting.
It's perfect for slaking that heat.
Well, I'm going to turn this into a three-part beer brag, Michael.
Excellent.
So a while back, I brewed a Rye Cheat Steel IPA.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, and then I broke my elbow.
so it aged for a few more weeks or something?
Just
or?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, given that Steve, brewing compatriot, is a works at silly hours and everyone's busy... I kind of had to make do with growlers and flip-top bottles for bottling purposes.
Well,
so right now it's sitting underneath a sink in my bathroom. There's nothing underneath that sink. It's not cross-contaminated. Don't worry about it. It's basically down there just in case it blows up.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I don't think it will. If it hasn't yet, it won't. But I tasted some of the... is it still wort after it's had hops boiled in it?
After it's fermented? I don't think it's...
Probably not. I had some of the non-carbonated beer, and it's weird.
It is weird, okay.
It would have been better had it been, you know, freshly bottled. I mean, we should have had it ready about a month ago, but time makes fools of us all, Michael.
Right. And elbows get broken.
Elbows get broken. I mean, I don't think it's still broken. The x-rays say it's not broken.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I'm on a 15-pound weight limit until September 11th. That was not my doing. That's just so happened to be when the doctor was in next.
Okay.
So much that the scheduling lady asked me if that was okay. which I appreciate her concern, but I'm not going to say anything. Anyway, I went and saw Gwar this past weekend, Michael.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So that's why I was in Des Moines and why I went to the Iowa Tap Room in the East Village. I sent you a picture of their bar.
Oh, yes.
Maybe 180 degrees of the bar.
That, like, rotunda type thing? I know that's not the word, but that column.
It was like a big round post about 4 or 5 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
And it has 120 beer taps on it, and all of them are Iowa brews.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow, that's
every last
impressive.
One of them. Yeah. So all of these famous names, well, air quotes famous, that you've heard from me and to a lesser extent Michael over the years. So Exile, Big Grove, Barntown, Alluvial.
Fire Trucker,
Toppling Goliath. They all have their most famous and some weird stuff on there. One that I did not get to is this fermentary from Iowa City. Apparently there's a sour beer place here in town that I will have to investigate. But I finally had I Am Brute.
Oh, that's right. So you had a Brute IPA. That's right. The local one.
I had the one named I Am Brute from Iowa Brewing Company. Which, naysayer of the show, Aaron, is that fair?
I'm not sure.
So you haven't seen the back and forth on Untappd?
No, I haven't.
Oh, so apparently, naysayer of the show, Aaron, was also in Des Moines at a different place with this beer, and he was not a fan.
Of the style, or...
Of this particular beer.
Okay.
I'll let you dig it up, or perhaps we can have him explain, but he's not a big fan of Iowa Brewing Company.
Ooh, okay.
I like their stuff, mostly their weird stuff, namely the Diddly series.
Oh, yeah, you've mentioned that series before, yeah.
The sours that are fine and dandy like sour candy. But the I Am Brute, it wasn't as good as the one I had in Portland, the Rainbow Rain. That said, that beer was brand new. It had just been put on tap. It was brewed in the place where I got it. It had just finished a couple days before. It was carbed. And then I had it, essentially.
Yeah, that's what my main question was. How would it compare? But it sounds like there's discrepancies potentially between the two.
A little bit. So I gave the I Am Brute 4 stars out of 5. I like it a lot. It was dry. The wine flavor wasn't quite as pronounced as the Rainbow Rain. But one thing that came to mind is, you know, we get spoiled by these craft breweries that hit it big, like your New Belgium or your Deschutes, in this instance. And because we, you know, like, oh, fresh squeezed. Yeah, it's really, really good, and we take it for granted, basically. And we forget what made those breweries special in the first place, if that makes any sense. I Am Brute was good. Rainbow Rain was better. 4 stars, dry, fruity, a little hoppy, a little bit more astringent than I think it should have been.
Okay.
Continuing with the oddball styles, I know I texted you about this one because I was confounded by Baby Aurochs from Alluvial Brewing out of Ames. Aurochs is their Russian Imperial Stout, and this is a sessionable Russian Imperial Stout.
Oh, yes. I wanted to hear more about this one, too.
It's supremely weird.
Doesn't that kind of counterintuitive? Imperial and session in the same description? Yeah, that just...
I mean, it's one of those... It's a paradox.
Yeah.
But albeit if it wasn't a sessionable RIS.
Okay.
It was still about 6.4, I want to say.
Okay. But in terms of RIS, yes.
It wasn't like, you know, 13%.
Right. I guess factoring that in, that makes a little more sense. I was thinking it was going to be like a 4%. And I'm just like,
No.
Yeah.
I imagine it was quite similar in construction to something that may come up a little bit later.
Okay. It's all relative, kind
of. It's all relative. It's 6.4 ABV, 27 IBUs. It had the barrel, it had the vanilla, it had the coffee, it had a little bit of a boozy aftertaste, but it didn't have that just sledgehammer effect.
Right. Just that overwhelming...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to its credit, it didn't feel thin or weak at all. Like, the taste was there.
Okay.
The body was there. It just didn't have that boozy afterburn. Maybe they just didn't throw in, like, a ton of sugar or adjuncts of some sort to cheat their way up the scale, as I suspect a lot of these RASs do.
Mm-hmm.
But is really good, and all of the hype that I have been hearing from Alluvial is well worth it. Hopefully I can find something more around there. They have DIPAs, a marshmallow mixed milk stout. Good gravy. Okay. All right. Well, I know what I'm looking for next. But yeah, Aurochs from Alluvial. Check it out if you haven't. Baby Aurochs. Pardon.
So what is the heat slaking beer?
Probably a High Life.
Okay. Oh, there's probably been many a wing night that...
We didn't really ever order beer with those.
Really? I guess it was a Monday or something, wasn't it?
It was a Monday, yes. Council of the show would occasionally have like a Bud Light with it, but I don't remember much, if any, in there.
Do you go for the hot wings?
I go for moderately hot wings. Okay. I go for about medium. Oh, quadruple beer bag.
Okay.
The last time I had wings, I had New Belgium's Bicycle Kick Kolsch.
Oh, that's a good transition, but go on.
Have you heard this? Of this beer?
I think so. I've heard of it, yes.
So, it's New Belgium, so it's probably going to be good. They've been downgraded to a probably after that cherry almond fiasco.
Right. As long as it's not limited release, you know, and a true tested style, I think you can say it's...
This was a limited release. It was only for the World Cup.
Oh, okay.
And it was made with lemongrass and Russia's national flower. Michael, do you know what that flower is?
Russia.
It's surprising.
I'm thinking of some, like, Arctic plant, but it's probably just, like, the sunflower.
It's chamomile.
Oh, okay.
So this is a chamomile lemongrass Kolsch.
Herbaceous.
Very much so. I didn't really look into it beforehand. It was just one of those, is like, soccer's on, so whatever. I'll just give me that one, because it was on sale. And it's pretty good. It slaked the thirst quite well after some heated wings. So, yeah, I'll go with a Bicycle Kick, and now you can't get it. So there. At least I don't think you can, anyway.
Maybe they're selling singles somewhere, and I'll try to grab it. But
if you, I haven't seen it bottled anywhere. Maybe canned, but I had only seen it on tap at...
Oh, it was on tap. Oh,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, it was on tap at Donnelly's, my favorite wing place in Iowa City.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy, speaking of Kolsch's,
mm-hmm.
this kind of buttons up our Sumerian Summer series, which... we abruptly ended last episode by switching to a stout beer. But this article I found talks more about Lunmore beers. This was in the Cap Times. And the article is titled, "Salud! In our highly scientific test, Lunmores rank Wisconsin's Lunmore beers." And Lunmores being two words there.
As one who will mow a lawn.
Yeah, they weren't like throwing beer cans at spinning lawnmowers. Although... that would be kind of cool.
It might be some sort of middle-era David Cronenberg movie where they're drinking the lawnmower's beer. I'm looking at you, Existence.
This is by Chris Lay. He introduces it, generally marked by low intensity, high drinkability, and optimum refreshment. This is a broad and flexible genre that encompasses styles of beer like Pilsner, Lager, Kolsch, and Radler, all waiting to quench your thirst after a hot day of yard work. So, he reached out to the owner of a landscaping company, and the owner and two employees came and drank and rated half a dozen beers that should be suited to this lawnmower beer definition. Mm. Now, his blinding method, I don't know, he used a slim brown paper bag to hide the identity of the beer, and he was pouring out of that in front of them, so... Not a big fan of the blinding method, but here were the beers.
Yeah, it's...
I digress.
As scienticians, it's not the best.
First up was Refresh, a Rattler brewing collaboration between Verona's Wisconsin Brewing Company and the UW Fermentation Sciences Program. And so we've actually had that one of those collaboration beers before on the show. Is that Wisconsin Red. That was about 2 years ago, I think, with Mike. But this one is the next, or I guess this is a couple generations over. And just me interjecting here. So this is the one I had at the Depth Charge event, because they were giving them away for free. 3.2%, and it's okay, it tastes good, but to me it's not a beer.
Sure.
So, but these guys loved it, and it right out of the gate, they're, oh, that's delicious, and all around.
Interesting.
So that kind of made me question their judgment, but it's for their line of work, so I can't complain too much. Next up was Next Door Brewing Company's Bubbler, which is a blonde ale that was kind of rated as plain Jane, not a lot of flavor. Then we had Lake House Golden Lager from Capital Brewery, which I've had before.
I think I've had that one.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's kind of actually really good for this style. Commuter, One Barrel Brewing, or I guess they're just called One Barrel. They're Kolsch Ale. Carbon 4's Belly Bongos, which is a seasonal pale ale.
What a great name.
Yes. And that was the highest ABV at 5.1%. Torrent, a Kolsch from Mobcraft, which we talked about on the show a few episodes ago. That brewery. Not that beer, but...
I remember.
And then he slipped in a control of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Boudvar? Oh, okay. Go ahead.
And apparently that got the comment, this is like water that somebody poured a beer in.
Oh.
But...
Come on, man.
Actually, that was just one person was kind of poo-pooing it. The other two were like, oh, yeah.
Jerk.
So, the final rankings, number one, the Rattler. Number two, the Belly Bongos Pale Ale. Then the Mobcraft Kolsch. And then in fourth, the PBR. And there were seven total. So, Rattler taking the prize, I guess, when just looking at the styles. Inclusion, though, he writes, there's no real clean-cut way. Ha, clean-cut. I wonder if that was a pun.
Probably.
To assign the title of lawnmower beer. No hard and fast bitterness or alcohol percentages. Beer nerds might use the word sessionable to talk about what they're quaffing to cool down, but on that score, every beer in our taste test delivered.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael.
Yes. So just more on the lawnmower. I just thought it was funny to see what the lawnmowers thought of the lawnmower beers.
I like where their head's at, but I mean, come on, man. Come on. You can control better than that.
Yeah, I think the scientific... in the headline or however they described it was a bit tongue-in-cheek. Highly scientific taste test, I'm pretty sure, was used ironically. Another taste test sent in by former host of the show Mike from the Chicago Tribune. Again, looking at light beers, can craft brewers make good light beer?
I saw this article, actually.
Yeah,
so this is a good article.
Craft beers against Bud, Miller, Coors, and more from Josh Knoll, again of the Tribune. And I guess I'll just kind of read the intro here and we'll cut right to the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
It's official. Craft beer is better. Or at least craft beer is more often nuanced and interesting than big beer and made with better ingredients that extract superior results.
No duh.
And he says, there's no other conclusion after reassembling our panel of brewers from last year's macro beer tasting to taste 15 light lagers blind. Five of the 15 could be considered craft beers and four of them finished in the top six. So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Four of the five finish in the top six.
Is this the one where they had the brewers from like Half Acre and Revolution and those
yes.
guys coming to do a taste test as well?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So Revolution, Half Acre, and Pollyanna, all Chicago area breweries.
I can't speak to Pollyanna, cousin of the show, write in, let me know. But the other two are quite tasty.
Yeah.
Didn't we have one of those on the show? A Half Acre beer?
We've had Revolution... I think twice. I think we had the one where the hop is in a little
anti-hero.
Army. Yes. And then we had their Chicago IPA.
We had was it the hibiscus one, the Rosa?
And that one too. Yeah, God, we have them quite a few times.
All right. Well, all right. Next time we'll get some Half Acre.
Hey, I don't think we've had Half Acre. So, and they came into it saying that as long as it tasted good, and it was reasonably blinded too, it was given in clear plastic cups, but the pouring was done in a hidden manner, it appears. Mm-hmm. So... it was done in a private room in Half Acre Brewery.
I like that place.
So let's just get to the rankings. The article's great because they go into their blinded reactions to each beer.
There's one really surprising result in this.
Yes, and I think it might be the number one result, which is Coors Light.
That was not the one I was thinking of.
Okay. Coors Light got a 3.5 out of 5, so these are all rated out of 5, and that was tied... or first place with two other beers, Firestone Lager, which is from, Firestone Walker. I guess I should have drawn that conclusion. And New Glarus is Totally Naked. I'm sorry, four of them had 3.5. Founders Solid Gold also took 3.5.
That's right. I can't remember if I've had Totally Naked before. But
yeah.
Thankfully, I have an unnamed New Glarus Mule.
Oh, yeah?
I'll tell you afterwards.
about this, but I now have a mule for New Glarus beers.
Oh, that's nice.
It is. Hopefully it works out the way I suspect it will.
Then, rounding out the what's considered the top tier, or the top six, was Spiteful Lager, which is from Chicago's Tiny Spiteful Brewing.
Cousin of the show brought me that one last week. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. There you go.
I can speak to this.
Jeremy, is this the surprise? Corona Light?
Yes, that one is the surprise, because that tastes like garbage.
Yeah, in the top tier. Yeah, I was shocked by that.
Maybe. Okay, so we've done two rounds of Cream of the Crap, right?
Yes. And I don't think Corona has been in it.
I don't think so. Is it time?
Yeah, we probably should do it.
Well, I have been saying that next time we get together, we're going to watch Phantasm. Maybe this would be a good excuse to, like, have six beers or something like that and watch Phantasm.
Just looking at the article here, they said it was apparently had lots of yeast character, a little sweeter, vague, lingering bitterness.
I refuse to buy it.
I just don't see it, especially because it's light too. Middle of the pack, so 2.8 Keystone Light and Miller High Life. Sam Adams Light at 2.7 along with Miller Light.
Sam Adams Light is not bad.
Not had that. I kind of want to try it.
I had it at a family barbecue gathering. Maybe it was Christmas. I don't know. But someone at my uncle's house had that, and I was surprised at how much I didn't hate it.
And then the bottom rung at 2.3 each, Busch Light, Corona Premier, and Bud Light. And at the very bottom, 2.2 went to Trader Jose Light, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Trader Joe's. That was kind of a last-minute throw-in. I can't remember what beer that's trying to kind of imitate, but...
Probably like a Pacifico or...
Yeah, well, yeah.
Mexican like lager.
And then at the bottom, Michelob Ultra with 2.
That's not a good beer.
It's like a spritzer or something, right?
It's fairly insipid.
So there you go. One other thing before we move on is this article introduced the term flabby. Have you ever used that to describe?
I saw that as well, and it bugged the crap out of me.
Apparently, it means lacking bitterness balance to the sweetness. So just too cloyingly sweet. But I don't think flabby is very descriptive.
That's not a good word for it. How? Okay, yeah. If you were to have a flabby beer, what would you say it would be?
Like if I had to define flabby in terms of beer without knowing anything?
You're like, what's the flabbiest beer you can think of? And why is it flabby?
It would be like, I don't know, something really thick or something with a lot of calories are the two things that come to mind.
So, I don't know if this is what I really think, but it is what first came to mind. I'd say it would be a beer that's trying to be a heavy porter, stout, whatever, but has a really thin body.
I could see that,
where it's got like those dark flavors, but no...
Nothing to back it up.
No meat behind it.
Yeah. But apparently it's just something that's too sweet, not enough bitterness to balance that sweetness. So
I don't know if I agree with that, but anyway.
Well, we'll just have to coin a new term to counteract that someday.
For sweet, not bitter. So the opposite of bitter beer face. Isn't cloy... That's a hard word to say.
Cloying. Cloying is in itself just a perfectly cromulent word. Why not use that?
Sticky? No, that's got different meanings in beer.
Gritty?
No.
No, I'm trying to think of like grain, like something's too grainy. Bready? No, but that's a little more on the east side.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
Well, keep thinking about it, Michael. We've got beer to drink.
Right in. Tell us.
I'm assuming that the FDR that we're about to partake upon means that we're going to find a beer, drink a beer, and rate a beer. And as we have alluded to, we've got a stout today. Michael, what are we having?
We are having from Tallgrass Brewing Company, Buffalo Sweat, Oatmeal Cream Stout.
Finally! I can't believe it's taken this long.
Oh, have you been looking forward to it, or you just had this beer for a long time?
I mean, both.
Okay.
It's just one of those ones... For me, this is one of the first canned craft beers that kind of made its way up this way. You don't see a ton from the lower Midwest, whatever you call it.
Yeah, it's from Kansas.
Manhattan, Kansas.
Yes.
Fun fact, Michael. 3 years ago, I was at a family reunion in Salina, Kansas, which is directly south of York, Nebraska. I only know that because that's where we turn.
And the road's just straight.
It's just pretty much straight. It's not that far from Manhattan, Kansas, but you can't find tall grass in that part of Kansas.
Oh, is it dry?
It's not dry.
What's the problem?
There's plenty of beer there. It just wasn't tall grass.
No.
They had craft beer. There's breweries in Salina that were totally cromulent to beat a dead horse. But it's just struck me at how weird the distribution was there. But yeah. Tallgrass, Manhattan, I like these guys.
Yeah. I kind of picked this beer just to put Kansas on our big board. I don't think they're on there. I think these guys are also known for, at least the beer that I recognize from them more often, is that 8-bit ale.
Yep. That's a solid pale ale.
Yes.
Have you had the double IPA version of 8-bit?
No, I didn't know there was one.
It's called
16-bit?
Yes, it is.
That is awesome.
The can is slightly darker. Anyway, I don't know if they still make that. It's not a year-round thing, but I have
I don't think it is.
It's pretty good.
This one is year-round, though, and
yes, it is.
Here is some flavor text.
Hit me.
We often hear from fans who swore they'd never enjoy a stout until they tried Buffalo Sweat.
If I may interrupt, that is exactly what I suspect someone in Kansas to say, based on my limited exposure to Kansas beer drinkers. Continue.
Okay. Some have described its rich taste, creamy mouthfeel, and sweet lingering finish. Uh-oh. As liquid chocolate chip cookies made with espresso. Espresso.
Thank you.
Espresso. I think that's a holdover from when I was a kid. If you only try one dark beer in your life, okay, Buffalo Sweat will change your entire perception about how a stout should taste. ABV 5%, IBU 14, malts include Two Row Pale, Carapils, Vienna, Victory, Black, Roasted Barley, Malted White Wheat. Hops, Columbus, I believe that's the bittering hop with a high alpha content, and Willamette. Oh, even adjuncts are here. Mm-hmm. Lactose sugar and flaked oats.
So those that wheat and those oats should probably, I suppose to the Carapils, should probably give us a nice creamy
thickness, yeah.
And Michael, speaking about food, also has pairings at the bottom where it says, enjoy Buffalo Sweat with roast beef and caramelized onions. Okay, I'll buy it. A rich roasted chicken mole, spicy food, or sweet molasses-based barbecue. I don't know about that.
What about this? For dessert, make a Buffalo Sweat ice cream float with a hyperlink. I'm clicking on it.
My God.
Oh, it's vanilla ice cream and this beer.
I mean, it's a root beer float, but with beer. Have you had one of these before? Just a beer float?
I tried making one with Guinness once. I just ended up drinking the beer and then eating the ice cream out of the glass.
That's fair. We should try it with like an IPA or something. Or a sour.
Ooh. Does that work?
I don't know.
I could see a sour. IPA would... I don't know.
Anyway.
Let's open it.
Okay.
If I can. There we go.
Now, Michael, there is a Vanilla Bean Buffalo Sweat as well. Have you had that one?
Ooh. No, I have not.
Friend of the show, Steve, is a big fan of Buffalo Sweat. And I think he might even have some of that Vanilla Bean Stout in his... basement. Perhaps I will have to get my solid snake on and raid his
down there.
Or just, you know, walk down there and kick in the door. Well, I don't think they care.
Baby patrolling the downstairs and
tiny exclamation points above his head. Or no, I guess it'd be a question mark. I don't know. They don't have the exclamation points in 5.
The latest Metal Gear.
The one that I dropped 100 hours in, or what felt like 100 hours into. Maybe it was 80, I don't know. I did Metal Gear 5 and Dark Souls 3 back to back, and that was about 4 months worth of work.
Those are heavy hitting games.
Yeah!
Dense games.
Very much so. It's dark. The head is already dissipated.
Yeah, I kind of screwed up the pour, but it hasn't mattered so much because, yeah, it's dissipating rather rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have had this one on the shelf for a while. Was this
yes.
from not the most recent one, but the one before?
Yes. So I'm thinking, as a stout, it should be okay. That's why I kind of held it back.
I suspect it'll be just fine.
Although there is a drink by date.
Yeah.
Don't look at that.
Whatever. It's fine. It's a stout.
It's a stout. Yeah.
I'm going in. Talk some more.
I'm looking at this picture of the Buffalo Sweat ice cream float, and it really makes me want to do this. The foam mixed with the ice cream is streaming out the sides, creating a delicious picture.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious picture. I'm guessing I'm going to eat a picture of the beer. Anyway, Jeremy, what do you got?
They're not wrong in their color text.
Okay. I'm a little worried because as last episode we mentioned, you weren't a big fan of the sweet, and this has lactose in it, which cannot be digested by yeast, so...
It does. Oh, yeah. I did yammer on like a maniac last week about all manner of garbage.
Mm.
But the roast in this one kind of makes up for the layers of lactose on it.
Mm-hmm. It is quite sweet. Maybe it should be called Buffalo Sweet. All right, I'll just be quiet for a minute as you talk.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let you sit there and think about what you've done. All right, okay, onward.
Okay.
It is distractingly sweet, more so than I remember.
Yeah.
I've had this beer a number of times.
Oh, I didn't know that. This is my first time.
Oh, really?
Full disclosure, yeah.
It's been around here forever.
This is like the first time I've seen that 8-bit around here. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've seen anything else from these guys. Or
they,
noticed, I should say.
They also have a couple of sours down here. They have Top Rope IPA. I think it's Off the Top Rope or Top Rope IPA. It's something like that. That one's pretty solid. There's something with a skateboarder on it.
Jeremy, is Kansas the lower limit of the Midwest then? Lower and western limit?
What do we
consider? Because they claim Midwest roots and Midwest all this and that.
I have my issues with nomenclature of where the Midwests are. I consider more of a plains state.
Okay, yeah. I would agree.
That said, it's because Midwest seems to be more like a... If you can imagine some loud idiot from an early John Hughes movie, or if John Candy could play you in a movie, then you're a Midwesterner. Otherwise, you're a plainsman.
Okay.
Just that, you know, maybe he's a bratwurst salesman.
Would you cap it at Nebraska, then?
No.
They're plains?
I'd say Kansas is Midwest.
You'd say you would, okay.
Yeah, but by that, Missouri would also be considered the Midwest.
Yeah, but they got that Mason-Dixon conundrum, yeah.
That feels dirty, man.
Yeah.
Missouri is, you know, Midwestern, but Missouri is
right.
Not.
That's south.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might get a little fuzzy and maybe even bisect states, so.
Yeah, once you get, like, hill people, I think you're out of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough digression into a
sidebar
about loosely based regional stereotypes.
Exactly. You know, I like this a lot out of the gate. As I'm drinking it more, though, it's becoming a little much. It's not bad.
It's just a little sweet.
And it's lacking a little, not that I expect it to be like nuanced, but it's not gentle. It's kind of heavy-handed on that sweetness.
Mm-hmm. I know that I've brought it up before, but I really am surprised at how much sweeter this is than I remember it. Maybe I'm conflating it with Vanilla Bean.
Oh, yeah. Could be.
Which is a little bit more delicate is the wrong word. Nuanced? I don't know.
Yeah.
Just the vanilla sweetness works better than just this. I'm going to dump a whole bunch of milk sugar in here.
Right. I'm also comparing it to the raspberry latte stout and how really balanced that was. And
we had that last week, didn't we?
And it was, yeah. And this one is, just in comparison, because it was just last week, is also making it a little tougher for this one to tickle my fancy.
Yeah, this one is definitely significantly sweeter than the latte.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I mean, hindsight is 20/20. Who knows if that's actually the case. But let's... What do you like about this beer, Michael?
I mean, I like it's as advertised. It has those chocolatey espresso notes. I mean, that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
It has that a good mouth feel.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It does have that kind of milky flavor too, but then that kind of gets more into the sweetness aspect, so that kind of gets up to be a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
As far as liquid chocolate chip cookies made with espresso, I don't even know if that's a good thing to be, so that's, again, going into the sweet aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So I actually just realized the flavor text on here and the can is different, but it's essentially the same. What about you, Jeremy? What are you liking?
I like the roast.
The roast is good, too, yes. Mm-hmm.
As far as like a 5% stout, and for a milk stout at that, it's right where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too ashy and bitter,
yes,
but it's also still noticeable.
Right. That I agree with. They did a good job of... The malt profile is good, I guess. Is
yeah, and the hopping seems fine. I mean,
seems
I guess
on level. Yeah.
I guess in a stout like this, it needs to be not noticeable.
Right.
But
our background, or you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So should we rate it?
We should. Yeah, let's go for it, Michael. Hit the sip of judgment.
All right, I will go first. Here we go with the sip of judgment. Tell me your favorite Batman villain as I take the sip of judgment.
It's the Penguin. I mean.
I didn't really have time to even lift the glass to my lips before you responded that.
Mostly because I remember seeing the original Tim Burton Batman movie just a little bit too young. Mm-hmm. Not like it's a movie that children shouldn't see, but maybe not like a 5-year-old.
Okay.
Which is how old I was when it came out, I think. Batman Returns, on the other hand, is a little bit darker, a lot darker. Sorry, I'm going down the rabbit hole. But yeah, the Penguin, because he had all those penguins running around.
I'm going to... The more I have it, the sip of judgment actually makes me want to bump it down a little. I'm going between two ratings. I'm going to give it... God.
This is a difficult one.
I'm like two-faced. I need to flip a coin on this
Do
one or something.
Do we think that the age is playing into it?
Okay, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt in that. And I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
Above statistical average, but it's really sweet, and that's the predominant flavor. Like, those other notes are there that we mentioned, mm-hmm, the roast, the this and that. But at the end of the day, it's a lactose bomb on your tongue, and some people like that, but it's just not for me.
How cold was this when you poured it?
I had it out, essentially, since we started recording.
As have I. I am thinking next time we have a milk stout, Michael, we need to do it in person,
mm-hmm,
and we need to keep it refrigerator fresh, for lack of a better word.
That might help.
Just because I feel like the sugar will be, or the sweetness will be less up front,
mm-hmm,
but who knows?
That could help, yeah. But, I mean, if this was at, I'd reach for this, I wouldn't six-pack it, but if I saw it around...
I would and have six-packed this. And I still would.
Okay. What's your rating, then?
I like this beer. I really do think that it's a touch old, as, you know, it happens around these parts.
Logistics.
Logistics and what have you. But it's still good. I like the roast. I like the balance between the chocolate and the coffee flavors on there. And even the milk taste... Not the milk sweetness,
mm-hmm,
does not really bother me all that much, which is unusual in a beer of this style. I want to give it 3.5. It's still, this particular can is too sweet. Oh, wow, I really should have done that differently. But anyway, but it's too sweet. There we go.
There you go. Okay. That's better than flabby, saying that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This ain't just too sweet, yeah.
Maybe we'll get a cease and desist. But I still like it. It holds a special place in my heart. Mostly because it's one of those first, like, readily available, like...
Mm-hmm.
I believe it originally came only in tall boys.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on their website, the picture they had,
uh-huh,
with the ice cream was a tall boy. Which, that does have a certain appeal for this beer, actually.
Right?
I don't know what it is about it, but yeah.
It's because how often do you see a stout and a tall boy?
Yeah, yeah.
The only other one I can think of is Toppling Goliath's Rover truck.
Oh. Yeah, so special place in your heart, and that's what you rate with? It's totally cromulent.
Mm-hmm.
He said as he kicked the horse.
Yes. Take that.
Why is everyone mad at me?
I guess we will wrap it up there. It's another one down the gullet.
It is another one down the gullet, Michael.
So you can get in touch with us in a variety of ways. Twitter, Facebook, APMPod there. APMPod@gmail.com to email us directly. You can also check us out on Untapped, where host emeritus, keeper of the Untapped, Mike, puts all of our ratings on there. I just looked on Untapped to see that little breakdown of that brewed IPA, and I saw Mike was still rating the beer. So thanks, Mike, for sticking to your word. I haven't followed up with that, but I'm sure people who are active on Untappd do appreciate that. So thank you. Rate, review, subscribe if you can. Tell somebody. That's always appreciated. But yeah, I think we'll leave it at that.
Speaking of Untappd, I'm noticing that the average rating is about 4.0. between most of our mutual friends on this beer. So take that for what you will.
Gotcha. Well, only fools and horses, as they say. I don't know if that's applicable to this situation.
Only fools and horses.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
It's a TV show, actually, from Britain. Oh. And I don't know what the expression means. I just know it's a TV show.
They rush in?
So, for Jeremy, I'm Michael.
And I'm, for Michael, I'm Jeremy.
And this has been American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.